the word enough is a common enough word. Enough. It points to a measurable quality. Like, did you get enough to eat? Is there enough gas in the car? Do we have enough time for whatever it would be? It has to do with what fills or what fits. Enough. It also points to a limit being reached. Like, I've had enough. Like this winter, we've had enough snow, right? And I think every parent or child giver on the globe at one point or another has said, enough! Stop it! It means I'm at my limit, no more. It's also the driver behind protest, behind things like the Me Too movement. Enough! The abuse, the exploitation, the taking advantage of women, it has got to stop. Enough. Enough is the propulsion behind so many things. Movements, protests, where people step in and stand up and say, enough, it's got to stop. There are whole paragraphs in that one word, enough. Enough also fits those times when people are just stopped. Even as everything else keeps rolling. It can come when we are stripped of our own self-illusions about being good or right or not needing help. Something happens and an awareness comes. And it's a sobering and soulful point where we realize that the arc of our life is maybe not where it needs to be. Maybe things have become hollow. Or they feel like they're going nowhere real or nothing of value, or there are dark things, and you have that inner dialogue of enough, enough. There's got to be something more, something better. It's that stopping point that I want to talk about today. Whether it's forced or chosen, whether it's unbidden and unwelcome coming in the company of troubles, or whether it's a guest into our lives that we need, saying, enough. It's time to pause and take stock of things. So I'm going to read two brief passages of Scripture that have to do with this. The first one we've already heard, or the second one from Matthew, we've already heard a few times. But there's this one from Jeremiah 6 that I used in the newsletter article I wrote this month. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And then from Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some of what has been stirring in me this week has been inspired by a beautiful book by Parker Palmer. It's called On the Brink of Everything. Among other things, Parker Palmer is very transparent about the fact that he has battled depression for most of his life, sometimes suicidal depression. Darkness has been a long-time companion of his. And during a long, bleak season of his life, he was walking down a country road, and as he put it, he was wondering if this might be the day. Then he came to a newly plowed field. And the look of the field stopped him. It was all turned over, broken roots twisting out of the ground from the sharp plow blades. It was being readied for planting, but right then it looked like nothing but a mess. Broken up dirt, roots sticking out, clouds of dirt. He looked at that plowed up field and he thought, that looks like my life. A mess. Broken up, twisted roots. And soon after that, seeing that field, he wrote a poem called Harrowing. Now, for those of us who didn't grow up on farms, who don't know much about farms, Harrowing is when farmers pull a heavy frame set with tines or teeth through a field to turn the soil, breaking up clods and roots and preparing it for planting. Here's Parker Palmer's poem, Harrowing. The plow has savaged this sweet field. Misshapen clods of earth kicked up, rocks and twisted roots exposed to view, last year's growth demolished by the blade. I have plowed my life this way, turned over a whole history, looking for roots of what went wrong, until my face is ravaged, furrowed, scarred. Enough. The job is done. Whatever's been uprooted, let it be the seedbed for the growing that's to come. I plowed to unearth last year's reasons. The farmer plows to plant a greening season. It's that last line that I find so compelling. I plowed to unearth last year's reasons. The farmer plows to plant a greening season. A greening season. Growth out of the mess, busted of dirt and roots and rocks, but the soil bearing seeds. A season of growth and greening that can't yet be seen, but it's coming. Greening is coming, hidden in the composting of the dirt and the wood and the roots and everything in the soil. In that dark, lamenting place, Parker Palmer latched onto that image of the field and the hope for a greening season. Now, analogies and metaphors break down at some point, so I'm just going to leave that image where it is for right now. And let's consider us. And our need to have times when we simply stop. Stop in our tracks, to pause, assess, to look at the twisted roots and the rocks and the clods of dirt in our own lives and remember by God's grace that there is a greening season yet to come. But it is so easy not to stop and not to consider, but instead to just keep going with what we're doing. And I don't only mean in the busyness of work and raising kids, as consuming as that can be. I also mean about life in general, for all of us, with the tracks we can get on and stay on and maybe not even think about pausing and asking the questions implied by what we heard from Jeremiah. Is this the right way? Am I on an ancient path of God? Is this the good way? Can I find rest for my soul going in this way? Here's how Jeremiah 6:16 is rephrased in the message. God says, go and stand at the crossroads and look around. Ask for directions to the old road, the tried and true road. Then take it. Discover the right route for your souls. That's the first part of that verse. With that question implied, are we on the right path? But then if you keep reading, reading the rest of verse 16 into 17, we read this. And again, this is from the message. But they said, nothing doing. We aren't going that way. And God said, I even provided watchmen for them to warn them, to set off alarms. But the people said, it's a fake alarm. It doesn't concern us. Or as it reads in my Bible, but you said, we will not listen. We're going to keep going. We should sit with these verses for a while. I don't mean just in here. And ask how well we're listening for the voice of God and the fullness and busyness of what we have going on. How ready are we to reroute if God nudges us and prompts us and gives us discernment that maybe we're not on the right path? Obviously, these words were to ancient Israel. And where ancient Israel was and where we are very different places in many ways. Different cultures, different times, different issues, different worlds. So many different things, but the core issues are not different. They're very much the same. They are heart issues. They are soul issues. They are looking and responding and listening issues. And it fits with us because we, too, can get off track without even intending it. We, too, sometimes just don't listen. We don't listen to what God is stirring up in us or speaking into us. We're too busy. We have way too much going on, or we don't want to change. No consideration. We're familiar with the way that things are going and the patterns of our lives and the things we support. And the thought of stopping and standing at the crossroads or maybe rerouting doesn't even come to mind. Or maybe you say, well, maybe later, but right now I'm too busy. I can get in that mode pretty quickly. Moving fast, getting things done, working down my list, moving one thing to another, often doing multiple things at once. And then neglecting that critical practice of pausing and stopping and asking, is this the right path? I'm saying, enough, enough. I have no doubt that that happens to a lot of you too, if not all of you. So years ago, Thomas Merton wrote about this very thing. He was a monk who lived in Kentucky. His hours were given over to prayer, into silence, into reading scripture, into writing, lived in a monastery. But even in that unique setting of being a monk, Thomas Merton routinely found himself getting drawn off onto wrong paths and into consuming busyness, neglecting the invitations coming out of God's word that we heard from Jeremiah and from Jesus. Stop. Just stop. Come and lay things down. Follow this path that I've laid out for you. Come to me with your weariness, your heaviness, and I will give you rest for your very soul. In his book, No Man is an Island, Merton wrote this. Some of us need to discover that we will not begin to live more fully until we have the courage to do, see, taste, and experience less than usual. For those who have let themselves be drawn completely out of themselves by their activity, nothing is more difficult than to sit still and rest in order to hear the voice of God. Now, I don't have a smooth action plan for all of us. There's no simple three-step technique for coming to a full stop and becoming fully attentive to God. But there are measures we can take. Some basic practices we can build into our lives, and Lent is a great time for doing this. One is simply to be attentive to that inner sense of enough, however it comes to mind, however we feel it. It might not just be about busyness. It might have to do with a God-given unsettledness about where we are or where we are not, with God, with Jesus, with the church, with other people. As I said, it's easy to blow right past that and keep on going, but it will serve us well to pay attention to that word enough when it comes, however it comes. We can also ask for help. We can pray that most basic prayer of all. Help. God, help me listen. Help me follow. Help me to be on the path that you've laid out for me. Help. And we can ask ourselves questions or ask these questions with someone we trust to be in reflection. Things like this. Is what I'm doing day by day honoring God? Or is it really all about me? Are the things I say, the attitudes I have, the opinions that I state, are they really in line with God as I know God through Scripture? Do they fit with the ancient paths and the good way, the way of Jesus? Or again, is it really all just about me? And all that is just a backdrop. And am I genuinely letting myself be pushed by God's word? Are there points where I say, this passage is really pushing me? It's making me rethink what I hadn't thought much about. We need to move into these reflective times, asking the questions. The Greek philosopher Plato said, an unexamined life is not worth living. And Parker Palmer in this book goes a little bit further with that. He says, an unexamined life can be harmful to others and to ourselves. It will do us well to find the pauses and to ask reflective questions and to listen. It's central to what the season of Lent is about, to slow things down, to back away, to find the pauses, to say, enough. I want to be on the right path. So to close, a few years before she died, one of our founding members, Laura Bondas, some of you remember Laura, she shared with me one of her very favorite verses from Scripture. Now, Laura was in a wheelchair. She couldn't get out anymore. She was unable to walk. She was, in many ways, living a very confined life that none of us would choose. Yet each day, she was so delighted by the things she kept learning to the very end. She was excited about her life of serving God and following Jesus, and that each day was loaded with gifts of grace and beauty and joy. Every day was yet another opportunity to revel in the wonder of God and life together and God's Word. Laura was amazing. It showed on her face. It was in her voice. There's this amazing freshness about Laura to the very end. And here's that verse she loves so much. It's from Psalm 92. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. May we be on that path, staying fresh and green. But you know, it's not just about us and just about our own personal walk with Jesus. It is about that, but it's about more. Because in these complicated days, with all the many issues that are swirling around us, and where a lot of people are looking at the church, at people of faith, and shaking their heads saying, nope, not for me. It is so important for us to be reflective and to be anchored in Scripture and to be alert and active and green and growing and to be pliable in God's hands, asking for that right path where we can reflect the presence of Jesus and the truth of Jesus. And to trust that even in us, flawed and failing as we are, God can do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine through Jesus Christ. So living in this way is the ancient path. It's the good way that we heard about through Jeremiah, because Jesus is the path. Jesus is the good way. He is the one who says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am humble and gentle, and you'll find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for each one of us, myself included, that we'd pay attention to stirrings in us or to words from others to us. To stop, to pause, to reflect, to say enough of going in that direction, and to seek the path that you have for us. May we be green and growing. May there be a greening season in each of our lives, and that we could bear witness to your power at work in us, to the world around us. We pray all of this in your holy and precious name, Jesus.
close in singing together. I invite you to stand.